I thought the Pepsi ad was great.
Okay.
You know, you can't trademark polar bears, right? So it's just a big giant swing, you know. It's not, is it a haymaker? No, you know, but it's just a big gratuitous, like, we're going to use our, like, think about, I'm just thinking contextually of, we're going to use our number one competitor's mascot in our ad the entire time. All right, we're back, Rob. Episode 158.
158.
All right. We're going to do one that we've done. How many years have we been doing this? Do we have any idea? A couple of years? 3 years? Something? I don't even know.
Probably. Yeah, maybe 3 years.
Because we've done this episode every single year because we kind of have to do it because it's kind of like.
We're obligated.
It's like a given, you know, like, and it'll probably come out way past when everybody else's does, but that's okay. You know, the internet never forgets, right? We figured we'd do our Super Bowl wrap-up commercial sort of impressions, you know? And I don't think we've ever done, like, who's the best and who's the worst and rate this and rate that or anything. It's really just more like, hey, what did you like? What, you know, what were some of your impressions on advertising and Super Bowl? And we've probably talked about, is it even worth it? I mean, how many millions of dollars per 30 seconds and this and that? I don't know, you know, but just kind of what our impressions were from the big game, right? So.
Well, I think it's to answer a question that you didn't ask, is it worth it? You can easily make the case that, you know, I think it was $10 million this year.
Okay.
Easy math. I think it was around $10 million for 30 seconds. And you can absolutely make the case that it is the single most watched event, right? On television. I mean, I saw the numbers the other day and they were saying at least for the halftime show, it was like 125 million people.
Halftime show, I think it was the second most watched halftime show.
Yeah. And I think, obviously there was so much leading up to it that of course everybody tuned into it.
Yeah. And I think it was the fourth or in the top five of watched Super Bowls. And I think it trailed off at the end because the game was so poor, obviously.
The game was so lame. Yeah. I mean, so in that regard, and certainly there was a surge, I would guess, of people watching halftime versus the
halftime went up to like almost 140.
Right? Yeah.
It was like
140 million or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that is a tenth of a billion, a little more than that. So that is a big, big number. So you could argue that, it's absolute. The value is still absolutely there. Even though when you say it like, oh, $10 million for 30 seconds, that sounds insane.
Well, I always do laugh, though, about like, is it, you know, like, oh, this is the number one movie now because it had the most, but it's like most tickets, you know, it's like, well. But movies cost a lot more than they used to. You know, there's more people here to watch, like population. Like, it's always going to be the next highest, right? I mean, am I crazy in how they rank that or, you know?
Well, I thought this was interesting if we think about time and money for ads. So I do remember the Wegovy ad, right? The weight loss drug ad that was Kenan Thompson on top of the thing. Anyway. Their ad was 90 seconds. So they paid for 90 seconds.
Time and a half. Okay. Yeah, got it.
Now, did they get a discount? Did they pay $30 million? Did they get a discount? Who knows? Doesn't matter. But what I found most interesting about that, and I watched it again, was the ad was fine. It was nothing groundbreaking creatively or otherwise, I felt like.
Yeah.
But what I thought was interesting about it, and certainly this is the trend with all new drugs these days, but in this case, the legal and the list of side effects started at 50 seconds. So the ad ran for you had 45 seconds of ad, and then starting around 47, 48, almost 50, the rest of the spot.
The 40 seconds of legal.
So half, call it half.
Brutal.
Arguably half of that was just
Yeah.
Your stomach's going to explode. Your face is going to fall off.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to die.
Do you remember the glory days of print advertising? And like, there's a magazine, you know, and it was like, here's an ad for, you know, whatever the drug is. And the entire backside was all legal or whatever. You know what I mean? It was like, that's a 2-page ad for one thing. It's the legal.
So same thing in Super Bowl terms. It was like, wow, this legal has gone on for.
Yeah. There was another weight loss. There was the Roe ad with Serena Williams, I think, right? And it's all like, I must go on this, I'm that. But I don't remember there being that much legal. I think it was just like, I'm on weight loss.
Well, you want to know why? Yeah. I can tell you why.
Because it's not the official whatever.
Because Wegovy is a drug that is regulated by the FDA. And so the FDA mandates that you do all that.
Yeah.
Roe and Hims, we talked about this before.
Those are
compounding pharmacies.
Yes.
So
they're
not regulated.
They're regulated differently or not. Are they even regulated at all? Is it even? No.
Somebody fact check me on that.
Okay.
I don't think there's a governing body that regulates them. I don't think there is.
Okay. All right.
If there is, it's certainly a gray area.
Yeah.
But that's the reason.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's the reason.
All right. Well, that's, I mean, do you have any initial, what were your initial impressions or do you have one?
The one that I thought was funny and I chuckled and I went back and I rewatched it. I actually enjoyed the liquid IV spot, which was the singing toilets.
Yes. Yes.
And the reason that I liked it was number one, I like liquid IV. Like I enjoy the product. I use the product.
Yeah.
So I'm starting with a.
You're a believer. You know, you're on the good side.
I'm a believer. I liked it because the concept was super simple.
Yeah.
It was singing toilets to tell people if your pee is too yellow, is your pee yellow? Like, so. Fundamentally, as a creative, that's what I like. I like the ideas that are super, super simple, and then they're executed against really well. And hey, you can imagine there is no storyboard. It's a guy, you know, the pitch is we're going to have all different toilets representing all different walks of life.
Yep.
And the toilets are going to be singing, and that's it.
Yeah.
And what are they going to be singing, you ask? Well, they're going to be singing Against All Odds by Phil Collins.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
The licensing on some of these songs is pretty impressive, you know, this year, which is
a classic. And then we're going to, and so that's it. That's the spot. And then we're going to ask people at the end, is your pee yellow? Right. And so I thought it was really good. I thought it was just really well done. It was super simple. It was goofy enough. The production quality was really good. The sound design, if you go back, and I've always been, you know, this a big proponent of sound design and how much that can affect negatively or positively spots. And the sound design is done really, really well. If you go back and watch the singing of each toilet in the environment, aligns perfectly.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
And even the you've got the one porta potty that's hanging by the crane. And it's totally muffled and totally whatever. I just thought that one, for me, I thought that one was really well done. Super simple. Don't overthink it. Dumb, funny premise. Singing toilets. Yeah. Good music.
It's good. Like, to me, that's a harken back to an awesome Super Bowl time. You know what I mean? Like, this is a, we're spending the money production-wise, and it's got the right amount of comedy. You know, like you said, great production, but it feels like a Super Bowl ad. Like, that one feels like, it's not just like, oh, it's an ad we ran during the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, no, that was crafted specifically for this for this event, which I think
and is it's relevant, too. Like, singing toilets are goofy, but completely relevant. It's not just monkeys for the sake of monkeys and craziness for the sake of
there
crazy.
Were a couple years there where it was just gratuitous chimpanzees and everything.
Gratuitous chimpanzees everywhere.
I know. It's pretty funny. So
that was kind of hot. That was up near the top of my list. What about you?
That's cool. The top of my list, believe it or not, I'm gonna go obvious and say the Pepsi ad. I thought the Pepsi ad was great.
Okay.
You know, you can't trademark polar bears, right? So it's just a big giant swing, you know, is it a haymaker? No, you know, but it's just a big gratuitous, like we're going to use our, like, think about, I'm just thinking contextually of, we're going to use our number one competitor's mascot in our ad the entire time. It's like, wow. Like, I mean, that's just a, like,
Yeah.
Knowing what we know about how the sausage is made, right?
Yeah.
And the hoops that you have to jump through to do things. I thought that was pretty cool, you know?
It was well done.
Yeah, it was really well done. It was smart. You know, how do we feel?
Well, harken back to the just taste test. Like, go back to the beginning, which
he's all blindfolded and he just does the thing, you know?
Do you prefer A or B?
It's great. Yeah. You know, we had a little bit of, I hate to admit, I had a chuckle with the Coldplay busted, you know, hugging thing or whatever, relevant. You know, but it's like, you know,
it's timely. Fine.
If you get it, great. If you don't get it, that's, I don't know who wouldn't get it, but like, you know, I don't know. I just thought that was almost kind of advertising for advertising's sake. I mean, we're just like, you know, again, I can't get over the fact that we didn't really use us. We used your mascot. It blows my mind. Right. So, you know, so I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. What else? You want to go? You want me to keep going?
I'll go. We have to talk about the Dunkin' ad, of course.
Okay.
Pop
culture blender.
Yeah. I mean, last year, I thought last year's was way better.
The Dunkings.
And I think in part because it was new and it was fresh, of course.
Yeah.
But it was like, they're in these crazy sweatsuits. And then remember they sold the actual merch? They sold the sweatsuits and whatever else. This one felt just overly gratuitous and there was no point to it. Like, it just didn't feel like there was any
point.
It was...
To me, it was like a strobe light.
What's that?
To me, it was like a strobe light. It was just, here's Ted Danson from Cheers. Here's George Costanza from Friends. Here's Joey Tribbiani. It was like... But to your point, there's no like story or narrative, right? He's managing a Dunkin', you know? So
yeah. And it was, I mean, do I love seeing Jasmine Guy after all these years? Sure. Great, great reference, right? But like, you know, when they did the Dunkings, it was like, that was an original new thing. They weren't like parroting anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, they were parroting Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of, but in a thing. And then it's...
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
It didn't really do gratuitous Tom Brady at the end. And it felt really weird.
Yeah, I do love that he's like the unofficial ambassador of Dunkin', though. I think it's hilarious. I mean, he's just been the Dunkin' guy forever, you know?
So. Yeah, I felt like, and I love, lean into that, let them be the guys, because it works. This one didn't work for me. Yeah, I felt like there were other places we could, it felt lazy. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, it felt really lazy. Okay.
So you're on the criticism for the borrowed equity and parroting other things. I'm more on the like drinking from a fire hose. Like it was just too much. There's just too much going on all in once. You know, it's like that could have been six different ads if they had different vignettes. And it would have been funnier if he was the manager and then crazy things happened or something. I don't know. But everyone's a critic. Everyone's got ideas, you know?
No, so. I think part of it is like by contrast, you know, for me, the Liquid IV was a simple concept that was executed. This, I don't know what the idea was.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you a simple concept that I loved as well was the tight ends, Novartis tight ends.
That was great.
Yeah. Now, contextually, we're tight end is obviously a football and, you know, or is a position in football. We've got all of these NFL players, but it's interesting. There were two, like, I'm going to call it butt ads, right? Because we had a Levi's butt ad, but just clenched butts, I thought was funny.
Great.
It's just the same thing over and over again. And then it's just relax your tight end.
Yeah.
Right. And then
super simple. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Super simple idea. Well executed, obviously relevant. Celebrity endorsements.
I love the tight ends. I thought tight ends was pretty funny. So.
It had everything. I thought that was good too.
Yeah. How'd you feel about, there was that big push up front. There was before the game, there were weeks, I think before the game and stuff like that of the State Farm, sort of living on a prayer, fake, you know, insurance agency. Do you remember anything about all that or whatever, you know? So
I don't. It doesn't stand out to me.
Didn't have a feeling one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised at the amount of songs that were well known that the lyrics were all rejiggered for XYZ brand. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there was a time when it was like, oh my God, you are such a sellout. Like, you cannot use my music for, you know, and now it's not only please use my music for your ads. It's, yeah. I will rewrite my lyrics. I mean, Backstreet Boys, like everyone, just specifically for your brand. It's like, wow, things have changed, you know?
Yeah, well, so. That's because Spotify doesn't pay artists any money anymore. And no one's selling records, so they've got you got to make some money somehow.
Yeah, 1/100th of 1 cent or whatever every 1,000 spins or whatever it is. You know, it's bad. Yeah, yeah. So that's crazy. Yeah, I thought.
Yeah, it did seem like it did seem like music was more more notable, more pop music.
All right, there's one more I got for you here. Well, I got a couple more, but there's one. Speaking of music, that it was really well done. We may be on opposite sides of the fence on this one. Was really well done, but I hated it, right? I hated the music. And it was the Rocket Mortgage Redfin, where Lady Gaga redid Mr. Rogers, you know, Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Oh, yeah. Right? She sings Won't You Be My Neighbor.
And there's a whole backstory, Lady Gaga doing the thing, and it's recorded well, and she did an amazing job, and it sounds great. I absolutely hate that you used Mr. Rogers and what he's known for a commercial aspect. And I guess maybe we don't fund public broadcasting anymore and all that's cut. And maybe it's free domain. I don't even know the origin of that song whatsoever. But I hate the concept of commercializing Mr. Rogers. I mean, it was a great song.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. That's like somebody taking a childhood sacrilege. That's a protected
I mean, I
got to
put my sweater on. Yeah. I mean, it just bothers me to no end that poor Mr. Rogers now is selling like online mortgages and
it feels like a low blow.
Spot was interesting in that, hey, here are all the new people moving to their new home and all their neighbors are jerks, you know. It's like, oh, hey, you know, and it's like, oh, they all turn their back on, you know. And then things happen, storms happen and all these different things, and then the neighbors are cutting up the trees, you know, and like, you know, everyone's helping out, you know. It was an interesting visual. I just couldn't get over, oh my God, am I hearing the song that I think I'm hearing? You know, like, oh, this bothers me. So,
well, what's interesting to me is obviously we have to think about target market, and they clearly did the research and know that, okay, the majority of people watching are going to know, you have to know the reference to get the, to get the spot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, young folks, because we're old, we're like, what are we talking about? Like, you have to ask yourself the question, okay, does it work without the context? Does the spot work without the context of knowing what Mr. Rogers is?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is a question to ask. And then also, to me, it seems like this is one of those, and we've seen this before. This is one of those where in the meeting, the presentation, it sounds really good.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to do it in the framework of Mr. Rogers, because it aligns. This makes perfect sense.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Then you see it and you're like, I don't, that doesn't make me feel good.
It's not for us, right?
Doesn't make me feel good.
It's, I don't know that it's first time home buyers, but it's obviously heavy online. You're finding your homes online. You're getting your mortgages online. No one's going to like banks anymore and like sitting down with mortgage, like, you know, I get it. The world has changed and that's how you're doing, you know. So, you know, maybe there is something to, hey, it's Lady Gaga because it's people in their 30s, you know what I mean, as first-time home buyers or second time or whatever the deal is. You know, I mean, it was all well done. It's a great story. It just bothers me that, like, no, that's PBS. Like, that's, you know, like, hallowed, you know what I mean? Like, just let it be what it is. You know, that's so.
Well, and that to me is one of those ones where I didn't have that as visceral of a reaction as you did, but I just forgot about it.
Yeah.
It didn't land.
So, all right. I got one last one for you on my list, at least, you know. I mean, there's others, of course. We could talk about Coinbase and that weird one, things like that. And Super Bowl ads we missed. Like, I really missed avocados from Mexico. Why do we not have avocados from Mexico anymore? It drives me crazy, you know. It's been 2 years now. No avocados from Mexico.
Did we have any pistachios? Did we have any
I don't think so.
I don't think we did either. But there's always a nuts. There's always a weird nut.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's always movies. We never talk about them. Like, who cares? It's just movies. You know, it's just promo for whatever the movie is. You know, I don't even remember what movies were being
Star Wars. Wasn't there a new Star Wars that they promoted?
Yes. The Grogu Mandalorian. The new Mandalorian movie or whatever that. No, but what I was going to say to your point about, hey, it sounds like a great idea in the meeting, right? And then you put it out there and it doesn't land very well, I would say is the Ring ad with the lost dog, right?
Yeah.
All I keep seeing in my feed and on my little news and things like that, right, is, wait a minute, you can just access my camera. Now, we all know this because we're smart, but like, we ran a Super Bowl ad telling everybody we can access your front doorbell camera whenever we want, right? And the amount of people that are returning their Ring cameras now is astronomical, right? Like, people are flipping out, you know, like literally returning their Ring cameras because no one really thought about it, which I found really interesting. So like, you know, has there ever been another, you know, Super Bowl ad that fell so flat that
now let me ask you a question.
The numbers from an Amazon perspective are going to be minuscule, but you know,
are people really returning their Ring doorbells in droves at this point?
Yeah. We're not talking millions of people, but like let's say it's 1,000 people. It's not, let me put it this way. It's not an anecdotal enough number. It's not like 5 to where no one cares. I mean, there wouldn't be news articles about, you know, what the backlash is and, you know, screen snaps of customer service with Amazon and stuff like that if it wasn't actual news. I don't think it's, you know, 10 people, you know, it's not hundreds of millions of people, obviously, you know, but it's enough to go, wait a minute, we ran an ad that is making a certain subset of people return the products that they bought. Right. I think it's noteworthy in that it was a flop, you know, like, I mean, it's a great ad. It's like, hey, we can find your lost dog. You know what I mean? Like, you don't use the flyers anymore. You know, everybody's got Ring cameras. Right. But it is interesting that there has been a backlash to the Super Bowl ad. You know, I find that interesting.
I have a different take on it. My take would be, I thought it was really well done. I thought it was a great way to tell a tug at the heartstrings story.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
I gave him my privacy a long time ago.
Yeah, we all did when we started signing iTunes.
Anyone with half a brain knows, of course they have access to it. They're recording it in the cloud. Like, of course they have access to your data. So, so that to me is more of a statement of
how dumb we are.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. And that's, maybe people don't like that. But yeah, I'm kind of like, well, of course, like, of course they can see, like, of course, you know. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, I don't think the plan is to run.
I didn't know people were turning doorbells and things were, you know, people are up in arms over this. That's a little surprising to me. Like, really? Like, you, okay.
Yeah. Well, people are pissed, man. I mean, I don't have a Ring doorbell camera, so I'm not, you know, and I'm fully aware that, yes, anybody can access your technology.
You don't have a camera? You know. You don't have a doorbell camera?
I don't have a doorbell camera right now, no.
But you have in the past?
I have in the past, yes. I have in the past, for sure,
Yeah.
Yeah, this particular house that I just moved to doesn't have one, so we're researching what we're going to put in there for sure, so.
Yeah, you're going to put a Ring camera in there. I hear they're on sale now.
No. I do not want to be in the Amazon ecosystem for anything. So, but no, I mean, it's a good thing to have. It's just interesting. I mean, it's a great ad, right? But I don't think on any metric, anyone would say it was, you never want people to return your product after you ran the ad in the Super Bowl. Right. So
I would
even if it's 10 people, you know, just because
I would venture to guess, here is what happens.
We've already forgotten about it, probably.
Well, when Ring started, if you recall, they didn't get funded on Shark Tank because everyone on Shark Tank said this is the dumbest idea ever.
Like, oh, I don't even remember that. That's crazy. Yeah.
So Ring didn't get funded on Shark Tank. They rejected him.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's gone on to be a however many billions of dollars company.
Yeah.
And because they were like, no one's going to like this. It feels invasive. It feels like all of these things. And so they totally rejected him. So I find it interesting that here we are, however many years later, and here's Ring at the forefront, and people are like, oh my God, this. I would venture to guess their sales are going to just keep. This is a blip on the radar for them.
It's a blip, but I wouldn't, just for me, just my personal opinion, I would say that it wasn't successful, right? It wasn't a successful Super Bowl ad. So, just like, again, worked well in a conference room. I think that, you know, the public is finicky, man. The public is weird, you know?
Yeah.
Things that we think that everyone should know, people don't know because people don't pay attention. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, or you don't think about it, you know what I mean? Or people don't, you know, mass segment of the world doesn't read the news, you know, has no clue, right? So it's like, wait a minute, that happened like 6 months ago. I'd be like, what? I just found out about that. You know, I mean, people are weird, you know?
It comes and it goes. All right, well, let me ask you this question then, now shifting gears. Does the quality of the game, or lack thereof, have any impact on whether or not you enjoy the ads, or just the impact of the ads in general at large?
Well, we have a rule in my house, and all of my kids would know that you can talk as much as you want during the game, but during the commercial breaks, it has to be silence. I like to pay attention to all the ads, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm in there, you know, as much for the game as I am in the ads. I think that it's money well spent at the beginning of the game versus at the tail end of the game.
Well, sure. Right. Sure. It depends on the game. That's where I would say it depends on the game. If you got a nail biter in Q4.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
money well spent.
That is true.
This year, Q4 was no bueno.
It seems like that sometimes is few and far between, though. You know,
could be.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but your question is, hey, does the quality of the game impact the advertorial enjoyment for myself,
or just the public at large? Oh. I think for us it doesn't impact it because we're going to watch them no matter what.
Yeah, and look
at them independent of the game. But I just wonder, and I don't know the answer to the question.
I think they are intrinsically tied together, yes. Because, you know, if the game is blasé, you're going to get up, you're going to go do whatever, you're going to do the dishes, you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to, I mean, you know, on the East Coast, you know, it's the game's still going on at 10 o'clock, right? So it's like, hey, I'm not leaving, you know, all my, you know, KP duty, right? Till 10:30. You know what I mean? It's like you'll start to go and do other things. You know what I mean? Right. So I think they are intrinsically tied together, you know, the enjoyment. Yeah. So
well, it's also a little bit different now. You can and this is not a new thing this year, certainly, but like every single ad is online well before the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well before the game. So it's not like you know, you can go find them if you want, if you care. Yeah. Majority of people don't. And they do see it for the first time, I would say, in the Super Bowl. But
yeah, I mean, the whole Adrian Brody, we didn't talk about that one, but, you know, that whole lead up and everything. I mean, there were commercials to introduce the commercials of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, oh. I mean, by the time you actually get to the Super Bowl spot, you're almost tired of like, okay,
you're like, I don't care anymore.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would agree that there's absolutely like – because people started doing that years ago. It's like, well, we're going to be spending, I mean, you can hear them saying, we're going to be spending this amount of money. Yeah. Let's build a whole campaign leading up and then after and da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Which to me diminishes the impact of the ad.
We did that with a Mr. Peanut, right? Didn't we kill off Mr. Peanut or something? And then there was an M&M's. Everybody freaked out about M&M's, right? Like 1 year.
Yeah. It's tough to remember them all. But,
yeah, I mean, that's why, like, to the ring aspect, like, everyone's already forgotten about it. It'll move on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, ring's going to be fine. Like, you know, like, whatever. It is, you know. But, you know, I mean, we still sell M&Ms, and everybody had a heartburn about M&Ms. You know what I mean?
I don't remember what the heartburn was about over M&Ms. Were we killing them? Did we kill M&Ms or something? Was there violence? Human on M&M violence?
I don't know. Another Mr. Peanut. We killed off Mr. Peanut, but that was that was just kind of a bad campaign. That didn't really it didn't land the way they wanted it to. You know what I mean? It's that type of thing.
Well, here's what and we'll wrap it up, but here's what my predictions are for next year.
Next year.
The prices are gonna go up. The next year we're gonna say, wow, can you believe it was $13 million a spot or $14 million dollars a spot?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl will still be the single most watched event, whatever else.
Do you think the World Cup will beat it? Okay, let me rephrase this. Do you think the World Cup final domestically in the United States will beat the Super Bowl number? I mean, the World Cup is the most televised.
Yeah, internationally, there's no.
Literally, billions of people watch the World Cup, right? Yeah. But the United States.
Dude, I don't know, man. I think it could come close.
Yeah, because it's here.
It could come close.
Yeah,
because it's here.
Yeah,
and soccer is just continues to explode.
Yeah,
I think we surpassed not baseball this year, but I say we. because I'm a soccer fan.
Well, I'm with you. It became number three. It's football.
It became number three. I can't remember if it was NBA or.
No, I think it did pass baseball because I thought.
I think it passed baseball. America's pastime.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It could be. That's an interesting question. It could be the year that it.
Yeah, it's football, it basketball, soccer, and then baseball. But I mean, it is like a nail biter.
It's close.
I mean, yeah, it's very close.
I don't know. It could be the year.
I mean, football is like far and away. I mean, it's number one for miles, you know, and then everybody's kind of bunched up, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, hey, maybe we'll do a pod about that, you know?
I guess we'll see.
All right.
Yeah. What commercials did they run during that final?
What's that?
What commercials did they run during that final?
I'm going to say Puma. Adidas commercials, you know.
I'm going to say I'll tell you what, it'll be interesting because American sports, obviously, it's a culture of stop start.
Yeah.
Advertisement, stop start, advertisement. Yeah. And soccer is not that. Yeah. It's running clock, let's go.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting if it's like, no. We full, you know, Coca-Cola bought out the first half. No, brought to you ad free.
Yeah. Well, they'll be like a little up in the corner. There'll be like a little, like here comes a logo.
Yeah. There'll be a little tickery, like little tickery thing happening.
Yeah. Out of the sports score and then it'll slide back in or, you know, I mean, there'll be some fancy newfangled, you know, on screen Chiron is, you know, brought to you by whatever, you know, that type of thing. Right. But, I don't know. It will be, I guess we'll find out this summer, you know? So.
Yep. I'll be tuning in for sure.
Yeah. And then we'll do our Super Bowl wrap up next year, a year from today. Mark it down on your calendars. So.
Mark it down. All right. Where can the people find us, Don?
They can find us online at mocktheagency.com. It's a brand spanking awesome website that's fully ready for your viewing pleasure.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. All right. Very good. That's our recap. And we will see you next time for episode 159.